the ability to achieve peak performance in your life and in your chosen field. You have the capacity to function in the exceptional range and to achieve mastery in any area that's important to you. And the development of true self-confidence requires nothing less. In the world of test pilots and prototype aircraft, as described in the book and the movie The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe, there is what is called the envelope. This envelope consists of an upper and a lower edge. The upper edge marks the height and speed that any previous aircraft or jet has flown up to the time of the most current test run. The upper edge of the envelope is the maximum height and speed possible for a new aircraft before it comes apart in the air or malfunctions or even self-destructs. The job of the test pilot is to expand the edge of the envelope. The job of the test pilot is to fly ever faster and higher in order to discover the outer limits of speed, height, and tolerance that a particular aircraft is capable of. The pilot takes the aircraft higher and faster continually until the plane has reached its absolute outer limits. This is called the outer edge of the envelope, and it then becomes the lower edge of the envelope for the next aircraft and the next round of testing. Every aircraft, no matter how well made, has an outer limit on its capabilities. It can go just so fast and so high, and no faster and no higher. Nothing can be done to expand the mechanical ability of something that's made of metal by the hands of man. The major difference between you and an aircraft is that there's no outer edge to your envelope. As Emerson said, the power which resides in man is new in nature, and none but he knows what that is which he can do, nor does he know until he has tried. And Thomas Edison said, if we all did the things we are capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves. Maxwell Maltz, the author of Psycho-Cybernetics, said, within you right now is the power to do things you never dreamed possible, and this power becomes available to you just as soon as you can change your beliefs. In other words, the outer limit of your envelope or the outer limit of your potential is not fixed in time or space as that of an aircraft. It is determined solely by your own belief and by your own confidence in what you think is possible. Your self-confidence is closely connected to your self-esteem and to how much you like yourself. Dr. Nathaniel Brandon calls self-esteem your reputation with yourself. It's how you feel about yourself and your abilities in relation to any situation that determines how much you like yourself and how much you consider yourself to be a valuable and worthwhile person. And the flip side of self-esteem is what psychologists call self-efficacy. Self-efficacy is a measure of how effective and how competent you feel you are to engage in a particular act or to perform a particular task. We call this performance-based self-esteem. What it really means is that if your self-confidence and your belief in yourself is determined by your self-esteem or how much you like yourself, then your self-esteem is determined by how capable you really are in any given set of circumstances. For example, if a problem comes up at work or at home and you're so familiar with it that you can solve it quickly and correctly, your self-efficacy and your self-esteem goes up. You feel more capable and confident and more willing to take on other challenges and difficulties. You feel more positive and optimistic. You feel like a pretty good person. If, on the other hand, a problem or difficulty came up and you were unable to do anything to solve it, your self-esteem would suffer and your self-confidence would go down. You would also tend to feel negative, and you might even become angry and irritated. You would feel powerless rather than powerful. That's why they say in playing poker that the winners laugh and tell jokes while the losers simply say, shut up and deal. The law of cause and effect applies to you and everything that you become. If the effect that you desire is high and unshakable levels of self-confidence, then it's only necessary that you engage in the same causes engaged in by others who have high and unshakable levels of self-confidence, and you'll get the same feelings or effects. Studies conducted on thousands of men and women who have moved from ordinary to extraordinary performance and who have moved from average feelings of inadequacy to feeling great about themselves show that there is a direct cause-effect relationship between competence and mastery on the one hand and self-confidence on the other. Some of the most exciting work has been done in the area of peak performance or optimal experience, or what some psychologists call the experience of flow. Peak experience is a form of natural high that causes you to feel absolutely terrific about yourself and gives you a wonderful overall feeling of well-being and happiness. And the causes of this effect are now well known. To attain this wonderful, healthy feeling of performing at your best, you need clear goals, challenging standards or ways of measuring the goals, you need regular feedback, you need total concentration, you need step-by-step success, and you need a feeling that you are expanding your capabilities to a new and higher level. When you've created a situation where you experience all of these, you sense that you're working at the outer edge of your own personal envelope. You feel that you're getting progressively better at something that you are ideally suited to do, and that while you're still working within the range of your capabilities, you're stretching yourself at every moment. When you're caught up in this kind of experience, you often lose your concern for time or hunger or thirst or fatigue. You feel calm and clear-headed and often euphoric. Sometimes while you're in this state of peak experience, the rest of the world seems to slow down and you seem to function with extraordinary clarity. You seem capable of accomplishing great quantities of work in a short period of time and with great accuracy and few mistakes. Everyone has had this heightened experience, usually when they've been under a tremendous amount of stress to do a lot of things in a short period of time. But they've had very clear goals and a strong belief that they were capable of meeting the challenge. At this point, they have kicked into flow and they felt as though they had taken off and left the ground. You've had this experience yourself in the past. Often it's so extraordinary that you remember it for many months or even years. And here's the point. Men and women who achieve extraordinary things in life are merely ordinary men and women who have learned how to put themselves into flow and to function at peak performance more often than the average person. And what someone else has done, you can do too. In every study of success and self-confidence, in every situation where a person enjoys high levels of self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride, we find that they all have one thing in common. And that one thing is that each high-achieving man or woman is in the right place at the right time doing exactly the work that he or she is uniquely qualified to do. Not only are these people the happiest and highest-performing men and women in our society, but you will never be truly happy and truly satisfied until you take your rightful place among them. One of the greatest joys of human existence is to find your true place, the job or occupation that is ideally meant for you, and then to throw your whole heart into it and into doing it well. The most fortunate people in our society are those who are so totally absorbed in their work that they don't know where their work ends and their play begins. If they could, many of them would do it for free, and many do. Emmett Fox refers to this as your heart's desire. He says that you are here on earth to do something special, something that perhaps only you can do, and that you'll never be truly fulfilled until you find it and completely commit yourself to it. And the remarkable thing, says Fox, is that you almost always have an idea of what it is. When Grandma Moses, as she came to be called, was a young farm girl, she had a desire to paint. But her family and friends told her that that was nonsense. They told her that, as a farm girl, her role in life was to marry a farm boy and to have and raise farm kids. So she put her heart's desire aside and did what she thought she was supposed to do. She had children by the time she was out of her teens, and more children in her 20s. In her 40s, she became a grandmother. In her 60s, a great-grandmother. When she turned 75, her husband was dead and her children were grown, and the doctor told her that she was just too old to work on the farm any longer. She felt that she didn't have much time left, so she decided to fulfill her heart's desire and to do some painting, which she'd always wanted to do, before she passed on. She went to a nearby town and visited an art store. The person in the art store sold her some paints and canvases and brushes and showed her how to use them. She went back to her farm and sat down behind the barn and began painting what came to be called Primitive American Landscapes. Grandma Moses sold her first painting when she was 78. When she was 101 years old, a major gallery in New York City held a showing of her works. In the last 10 years of her life, some of her paintings were selling for more than $100,000 each. Now here's the rub. She was told as a young girl that she couldn't paint because it cost too much and no one could afford it. Yet, when she began painting, she earned more in a year from her paintings than she and her husband had earned in an entire lifetime of hard work on the farm. She was not only a complete natural, she was also a totally original talent. It's been estimated that if she had begun painting in her late teens, as she really wanted to do, and her paintings had been as successful commercially as they still are today, she might have become one of the richest women in America. The story of the human race is written in the life stories of men and women who followed their heart's desire and did what they were uniquely qualified to do and did it with all their heart. And no matter what your situation, this possibility lies open to you right now. Another example was a young man, 16 years old, one of my students, who became so excited about his potential that he started his own food service business, made a success of it, and sold it out at a profit by the time he was 18 years old. His accomplishment and his confidence as a result were so impressive that when he went to work for a major grocery chain, they promoted him up the ladder so fast that before the end of his 18th year, he became the youngest full manager of a major grocery store in America. And he loves every minute of his work. And he's following his heart's desire. Countless men and women have written to me and come back to me at my seminars around the country and told me that summing up the courage to do what they really wanted to do was the turning point in their lives. Some of them had dramatically increased their incomes 5 and 10 times, although many had not. In every case, they were having to work harder than ever before, but as a result, they were happier than they had ever been. Their postures are strong and straight, and their eyes shine, and their voices are clear, and their language is positive, and it's obvious that they're really enjoying their lives. They have a calm, quiet confidence in themselves that is unmistakable, and it makes them stand out from the others around them. I used to think that setting goals and making plans was the starting point of success in life. After a while, however, I changed my mind because I realized that something else actually comes first. What comes first is the acceptance of complete responsibility for yourself and for everything that happens to you. Real maturity begins when you finally realize that no one is coming to the rescue. It's only when you have accepted 100% responsibility for yourself that you are ready to go to the next step and decide exactly what it is that you want and exactly what it is that you want to do. Your sense of competence and mastery and the self-confidence that goes with it actually begins with self-analysis and self-awareness. And in analyzing yourself to determine what it is that would be ideal for you to do, here are 6 approaches you can use. First, ask yourself, what talents, skills, and abilities do you seem to have naturally? What areas of school and work have you naturally gravitated toward? Every person is put on this earth with a unique combination of ingredients and talents that makes him or her different from anyone else who's ever lived. And it's only when you find the situation that can most benefit from your special capabilities that you'll be able to make your greatest contribution and enjoy the greatest rewards, both tangible and intangible. A second method is to divide your activities into 4 quadrants, as Viktor Frankl, the founder of logotherapy, has recommended. The 4 quadrants are divided up by what is easy to do versus what is hard to do, and what is easy to learn versus what is hard to learn. In the 1st quadrant, you find jobs and activities that are hard to learn and hard to do. These are probably areas for which you have no natural facility and from which you get very little pleasure. The 2nd quadrant contains things which are easy to learn but hard to do. Hard physical labor might fall into this category, like digging a ditch with a shovel. It's easy to learn, but it's always hard. The 3rd quadrant contains things that are hard to learn but easy to do. Driving a car or typing with a typewriter might fall into this category. They are difficult to learn at first, but once you've learned them, they're very easy and they're often automatic to do afterwards. The fourth quadrant, in terms of what you should ideally be doing, is the most important. These are the jobs that are easy to do, and they were so easy to learn that you often forgot that you learned them at all. These are invariably the types of jobs or the kind of work at which you excel and which is almost effortless to you, although it may be extremely difficult for others. This is probably what you should be doing with your life. A third method of analysis is to look back over your life and ask yourself, what activities, behaviors, or decisions have been most responsible for my successes in life to date? You'll probably find that less than 5% of the things that you have said or done have accounted for most of the progress that you've made in your career. Often we call these turning points or moments of truth. You may find that it was your unique ability to solve a particular kind of problem or to see a particular type of opportunity. You may find, in thinking back, that it was an interpersonal skill that had to do with influencing and persuading other people at a particular time and place. You may find, upon analysis, that it was an ability to take charge and accept responsibility for accomplishing a particular goal. Whatever has been responsible for your successes in life to date may be a good indication of the direction that you should go in the future. A fourth method of analysis is for you to simply describe in detail the kind of money you would like to earn, the kind of work you'd like to do, the people you'd like to work with, the kind of customers you'd like to sell to, and the kind of lifestyle that you would like to have as it pertains to your occupation. As you think through the kind of job that would make you happy, you may find that it is a completely different field from the one you are now in. A fifth method of analysis has to do with what I call return on energy. Leaders in every field are very careful to apply their talents and energies where they can make the greatest difference and achieve their greatest return on the amount of their energy that they invest in any endeavor. They adamantly refuse to take on jobs or to work in areas where they cannot perform at exceptional levels. They treat themselves as a valuable resource and they spend themselves very, very carefully. One of the things that you might do is to continually ask yourself if what you're doing is the highest and best use of your time and talents in any situation. Is this the most valuable thing that you could be doing, given your particular combination of abilities? Often, answering this question will help you to see that there's a vast difference between what you are currently doing and what you should be doing if you want to be fulfilling more of your potential. The sixth method of analysis in seeking out your heart's desires, probably the most important of all, though not easy. It is simply to do what you love to do. Every really successful, happy man or woman will say that the reason for their success is that they are doing what they love to do. Unfortunately, there's an old myth in our society that suggests that work is a penalty you pay during the day so that you can get your enjoyment from other things in the evenings or on the weekends. Work is sometimes viewed as a punishment, but something that's unavoidable, so you often do it with as much dignity and forbearance as possible, but you never really think about whether you enjoy it or not. This attitude is not for you. Your life is too precious and valuable. Every minute of it should be spent doing things that you love and enjoy and care about and which make you happy. The wonderful thing is that the highest paid people in America are usually found working at jobs that they enjoy so much that they hate to go home at night. And the lowest paid people in America are invariably found at jobs they dislike, where they are just going through the motions. Choosing the right work for you is central to your enjoying high feelings of self-esteem and self-confidence, not only in your work, but in every other area of your life. Once you have accurately chosen your ideal job or occupation, it will change progressively over life as you evolve and mature. Your biggest responsibility is to make the decision to become very good, to become excellent at what you do. We've said that self-confidence comes from positive knowing rather than positive thinking. And it is only when you know that you are outstanding in your chosen field that you really feel terrific about yourself and that you enjoy high levels of self-confidence. Men and women who are good at what they do and who know that they're good at what they do are very different from those who are only average. They walk and talk and dress and behave differently. They have an attitude of assurance and certainty about them which enables them to stand out in any group. They have a deep-down sense of self-worth and self-confidence that is evident to everyone around them. I remember a man in his mid-20s who came up to me at a seminar in Pittsburgh recently. He said that he had started in sales just over 4 years ago. He told me that in his first year in a very competitive market, he made $22,000. But as he read and listened to tapes and attended seminars, he got better and better, and in his second year, he made $48,000. He became totally committed to ongoing professional development, and in his third year, he made $94,000. In his fourth year, he had earned just over $175,000, selling the same products in the same competitive market to the same customers at the same prices and under the same economic conditions. And he had driven to the seminar in his new Mercedes. Now, not everyone can experience such extraordinary financial results. But the most important thing about this young salesman was that he exuded self-confidence and personal pride from every pore. He had a positive self-image and high self-esteem. He was admired and respected by the people around him, and he was held up as a role model to others of what they might become if they just worked on themselves and on their jobs hard enough. This brings us to a very important mental principle called the law of accumulation. The application of this law is a fundamental reason for success in every field, including yours. This law simply says that every great life or great career is an accumulation of hundreds and perhaps thousands of efforts that nobody ever sees or appreciates. Great success is the result of countless hours, maybe even months and years, of preparation and hard work toward the goal of becoming very good at what you're doing. This law of accumulation says that life is very much like a balance sheet with both credits and debits. Every time you do something positive to enhance your abilities and to improve your life, you get a credit on the credit side of the ledger. Every time you waste your time or neglect to take advantage of an opportunity to learn and grow, you get a debit on the debit side of the ledger. And here's the key. Everything counts. Everything that you do or fail to do is written down and totaled up on your balance sheet. A successful, happy, self-confident person is simply an individual who has consciously and deliberately built up a lot of credits on his or her personal balance sheet. An unhappy, negative, or insecure person is simply a person who has a lot of debits on his or her balance sheet. And since the only things that count are your actions, it seems that every positive and constructive action you engage in adds up and increases your levels of self-confidence and self-esteem. Perhaps the most important corollary of the law of accumulation is what is called the law of incremental improvement. This law simply states that a person becomes good at his or her chosen field by improving incrementally, continuously, over a long period of time. In a study on the subject of mastery reported on in the magazine Psychology Today, the researchers concluded that mastery consisted of the ability to recognize a great variety of patterns in a given situation based on what they called a high level of integrative complexity. What this basically means is that, for example, a salesperson achieved a high level of confidence and capability in a sales situation by having both studied his or her profession and by having been in countless previous sales situations. He or she had developed the ability to integrate their knowledge and experience and to recognize a particular pattern in the sales situation based on previous experiences. Their conclusion was that it takes several thousand hours of research and practice to achieve and perform at exceptional levels in any complex field or in any difficult occupation or profession. Although there are prodigies, people who succeed in a short period of time, these are very rare. It takes several years on average for a person to become excellent in his or her chosen field. Most people achieve great financial success after the age of 40 or 50. it takes them that long to develop an extensive enough repertoire of patterns so that they can be of great value to themselves and others. The law of incremental improvement is your key to an unlimited future of prosperity, success, and self-confidence. It doesn't matter where you're starting from. All that matters is where you're going. As Theodore Roosevelt said, "Do what you can with what you have, right where you are." By applying the law of incremental improvement to yourself and your work, you can begin moving upward toward joining the great ones in your field. If you're doing what you love to do, and you're doing it with all your heart, by engaging in continuous personal and professional improvement, you can begin to move forward at such a rapid rate that it will astonish you. Your goal is to be the best. Your goal is to be recognized by those around you as outstanding in your field. Your goal must be to pay any price, overcome any obstacle, and make any effort necessary to become excellent in your chosen career. Just as choosing the right work or career for you requires self-analysis and self-awareness, moving to the top of your field requires that you take your existing position and you break it down into what we call its success factors, or to its core skills. In every job, and in every company for that matter, there are a few factors, seldom more than 5 to 7, that determine the success or failure of the person or the organization. Whenever an individual is having trouble with his or her career, it's usually because he or she is weak in one or more of these factors or core skills. Whenever a person is successful, they are strong in all of the key success factors. Your job is to break your work down into its component parts, its basic skills, and analyze your level of competence in each one by giving yourself a grade on a scale from 1 to 10. For example, if you're in sales, your success factors or core skills might be prospecting, establishing rapport, identifying problems, presenting solutions, getting closure, and relationship maintenance or follow-up. A weakness in any one of these areas could be fatal to your success and your income. Success begins by analyzing the individual parts of your performance and then by making a plan to become very good in each area. A good exercise is to ask yourself, what is my limiting step? What is the bottleneck or choke point in your work? What is the one thing that you do or don't do that determines the speed at which you achieve your other goals? Sometimes taking the time to alleviate the limiting step will put your entire career onto the fast track. Once you've identified your ideal job and then broken that job down into its constituent parts or core skills and then made a plan to become very good in each part of your job, then your final key to self-motivation and a feeling of growth is to commit yourself to continuous, perpetual self-improvement. Make a decision right now to dedicate yourself to a lifetime process of personal and professional development. Here are the 3 simple rules that will change your life. First, invest 3% of your income back into yourself. Spend 3% of what you earn on personal research and development, on upgrading your skills and abilities, and on becoming better at performing the most important tasks that are required of you. If you invest 3% of your income back into yourself, you'll never have to worry about money again. Second, read for 1 hour each day in your chosen field and take careful notes that you can review regularly. A simple technique is to read and underline with a red pen and then go back and transfer all of those key points into a spiral notebook. You'll then have a synopsis of the most important ideas that you can reread 5 or 6 times until you memorize them. This method is used by some of the most successful men and women in America. And rule number 3 is to listen to audio cassettes like this in your car. Turn your automobile into a university on wheels. Never sit in your car without audio cassettes playing. You spend between 500 and 1,000 hours each year in your car. And if you turn driving time into learning time, you can become one of the best educated people of your generation. One of the smartest things that you can do is to invest in your earning ability, to become better and better in everything you do. This continuous investment in yourself will put you behind the wheel of your own life. It will assure you of greater success and self-confidence every day of your life, and by the law of indirect effort, a commitment to yourself will earn you the self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride that you desire. You will eventually achieve the competence and mastery in your field that generates the feelings of self-confidence that make you irresistible. There's no limit to what you can accomplish if you know the direction that you're going in and you're willing to make the efforts. Aristotle once wrote that the common aim of mankind is to be happy, however we define happiness. One thing we know is that the more confident and the better we feel about ourselves, the happier we are, and the more effective we seem to be in everything we do. Self-confidence, however, is really a state of mind based on your belief systems. Belief, or faith, enables you to act boldly in the face of uncertainty. Confidence enables you to face changes and difficulties and unexpected setbacks with calmness and clarity, and allows you to respond more effectively under any circumstances. The law of belief, which is another form of the law of cause and effect, says that your beliefs become your realities. You do not believe what you see, but you see what you believe. William James of Harvard said that belief creates the actual fact. In the Bible, it says, according to your belief, it is done unto you. If you believe strongly enough and confidently enough, your outer world will tend to conform to a pattern consistent with these beliefs. In fact, your world today is merely an outpicturing of your innermost beliefs and convictions. You can tell what you really believe by what you do and by what you don't do, and by your conversation and by your decisions. When you truly believe yourself to be an exceptional human being, possessed of remarkable capabilities, you will walk and talk and act that way. As the Bible again says, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's a story about a man whose business was in serious trouble. He'd lost some big sales, he was deeply in debt, and his suppliers and creditors were closing in on him. He didn't know whether he should continue struggling or just declare bankruptcy and let his business fold. So he decided to go for a walk in the park that evening and think it over and decide what to do. He was standing in the park on a small bridge looking down at the water when an older man appeared out of the darkness. Seeing his downcast look, the older man stopped and demanded to know what was the matter. For some reason, the businessman told him all about his financial problems and how close his business was to collapsing, even though it was a good business and had a good potential future. The older man listened intently and then said, "I think I can help you." He pulled a checkbook out of his pocket, asked the man his name, and wrote out a check for him, pushed it into his hand, and said, "Take this money. Meet me here exactly 1 year from today, and you can pay me back at that time." Then the older man turned and disappeared into the darkness. When the businessman returned to his office, he opened up the check and found that it was for $500,000. The signature read, John D. Rockefeller. He had received a check for $500,000 from the richest man in the world at that time, the man who had formed the Standard Oil Company and who was well known for giving money away to others. At first he thought he would cash the check and solve all his financial problems, but then he decided that instead he would put the check in his safe, knowing that he could draw upon it at any time, and he would use this knowledge to deal more confidently with his suppliers and creditors and to turn his business around. So with renewed enthusiasm, he plunged back into his business and made deals, negotiated settlements, extended terms of payments, and closed several large sales. Within a few months, his business was back on top, out of debt, and making money. 1 year later, he went back to the bridge in the park with the uncashed check still in his hand. He could hardly wait to tell the older man what had happened. At exactly the agreed-upon time, the older man emerged from the darkness once more. Just as the businessman was about to give him back his check and tell him his exciting story of success and achievement over the previous 12 months, a nurse came running out of the darkness up to the old man and grabbed his arm. She apologized to the businessman, saying, "I'm so glad I caught him. I hope he hasn't been bothering you. He's always escaping from the rest home and going around telling people that he's John D. Rockefeller." She took the old man's arm and led him away. The businessman just stood there, stunned. All year long, he'd been wheeling and dealing, buying and selling, building his business with a calm, confident knowledge that he had a $500,000 check in his safe that he could cash at any time. It suddenly dawned on him that he had made his business successful based on his beliefs, even though the information upon which his beliefs were based was false. It had been his self-confidence in action that was responsible for the turnaround in his affairs. Your job is to achieve the same level of confidence and belief as that possessed by that businessman. The world will largely accept you at your own estimation. It is yourself that you have to convince before you can convince anyone else. But once you are absolutely sure that you have what it takes to master any situation, you'll act in such a way that your beliefs will become your reality. We're really talking here about what we call mental fitness, or the hardy, resilient personality. And mental fitness is subject to the law of cause and effect. You can develop the kind of irrepressible self-confidence that you desire by simply repeating certain thoughts and actions over and over until they are driven deep into your subconscious mind and take on a power of their own. Perhaps the most pervasive influence in determining your mental and emotional state at any time is the power of suggestion. The power of suggestion begins working on you even before you're born and continues from infancy and throughout your life, making you the kind of person you are today. Experts say that fully 95% or more of what you do, say, think, and feel is determined by environmental and psychological suggestive influences around you. For example, the average person is so susceptible to suggestive influences that a rude word from another person may cause him or her to be upset and angry for hours. On the other hand, a kind word of praise or recognition may cause him or her to be positive and happy for the rest of the day. To enjoy high levels of self-confidence, you must be able to make up your own mind and free yourself from any influences that cause you to feel negative or unhappy for any reason. You must take full control over your own thinking and over your own suggestive environment, making sure that what you are allowing into your mind is consistent with the things you want and the person you want to be. And you must work to keep all other influences out. There are three forms of suggestion that can determine how you feel about yourself and how you think. The first is called external suggestion. These are all the things that go on around you from the moment you get up in the morning until your last communication or information input in the evening. Depending upon how open and receptive you are, you can be inordinately influenced by television, radio, newspaper, conversations, work experiences, feedback from superiors, interactions with members of your family, even problems in traffic or changes of temperature on the outside. The great majority of people allow much of their lives to be determined by what is going on around them, convincing themselves that they are thinking independently when instead they are merely reacting to whatever happens. This explains why the negative emotions that upset and disturb you are usually unconscious, unthinking reactions that are triggered by external events. We know this is true because no one would consciously and deliberately decide to feel negative, angry, or upset. When people are in control of their emotions, they choose to feel happy. For example, one of the most common expressions of negative emotions has to do with what are called conditioned responses. These are automatic responses that we engage in when somebody pushes one of our hot buttons. A hot button is a habitual negative way of reacting to an experience or to something that someone says. If you hate to get cut off in traffic and somebody cuts you off inadvertently, your hot button will be triggered and you'll be talking angrily to yourself and to anyone else who will listen for the foreseeable future. One of the ways to take control over your mind is to think through the various external factors that cause you to automatically become angry or upset. Make a list of everything that happens where you have a tendency to respond negatively. Then, consciously make the decision that in the future, when one of these issues comes up, you will instead respond calmly and positively and not allow yourself to become upset and angry. Smile, take a deep breath, and remain calm. The more you practice this, the easier it will become. Your personality will become stronger and more resilient. Your self-confidence will go up, and you'll feel more in charge of your own life. The second form of suggestion is called self-suggestion. Self-suggestion is when you put both hands on the controls of your own mental life or step up to the keyboard of your own mental computer and consciously program your subconscious mind with the thoughts and feelings that you desire. Self-suggestion is your key to building the kind of belief system deep within yourself that will lead to unshakable self-confidence. And the reason that self-suggestion works so well is because of the law of substitution. The law of substitution says that your conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time, positive or negative. If you consciously choose to hold a positive word or picture in your mind, you simultaneously block out various inputs from external sources that might cause your thinking and feeling to be negative or inconsistent with your desires. For example, if whenever you begin to feel tense or uneasy or angry about something, you switch your mind and start thinking about your major goals, your mind will go from negative to positive instantly, and you'll feel good about yourself again. A thought of a goal which is positive and future-oriented is inherently uplifting. You cannot think about your goal and be upset and angry at the same time. By using the law of substitution, you take full control over your suggestive environment and over the information that reaches your subconscious mind. Here's an affirmation that's been very helpful to me. I repeat it over and over until it becomes automatic in almost every situation. When something goes wrong, I immediately catch myself by saying, "Every situation is a positive situation if viewed as an opportunity for growth and self-mastery." This is a simple mind game that enables me to stay relaxed and continue to perform at my best, and it will work for you as well. Just give it a try. The third form of suggestion is called autosuggestion. Autosuggestion happens when you've repeated messages to your subconscious mind so often that they take on a power of their own. They function automatically. We have found continually that happy, optimistic people have programmed themselves to respond in a happy and optimistic way to almost every situation. And you can do the same thing. All of life is bound up and determined by your responses. It's not what happens to you, but how you react to what happens to you that counts. It's not the cards that you're dealt, but the way you play the cards that determines how well you do in the game of life. Your job is to consciously decide to use your willpower to keep your mind clear and to keep yourself positive and functioning at your best. The starting point of taking full control over your conscious and your subconscious mind is for you to accept complete responsibility for everything that you think, say, and do. You are responsible for whatever happens to you, and especially you're responsible for your responses to the inevitable ups and downs of daily life. As Eleanor Roosevelt said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." Accepting responsibility is not an option that is open to the individual. It is mandatory. It is an absolute fact of human existence. If there is any effect in your life with which you're unhappy, it's solely up to you to change the causes. You are completely responsible. This is often called the reality principle. A fully mature adult accepts reality as it is, not as they wish it would be. They accept that their actions have consequences. Inactions also have consequences. What are called crimes of omission are often more serious to your long-term prospects than mistakes you actually make. Omitting to think through your values, to set clear goals, make plans, to commit to excellence, and so on, can be disastrous to your likelihood of high achievement. Your goal is to be happy, confident, and optimistic, and the way that you achieve it is by making your responses so automatic that you are predominantly happy, confident, and optimistic no matter what happens. And you can achieve this result by taking specific, proven, practical steps that have been used by millions of people and which work with virtually unfailing certainty. And you begin by accepting complete responsibility for every aspect of your life. You demonstrate this attitude of responsibility by exerting your freedom to choose the thoughts you wish to hold in your conscious mind. Psychologists refer to this as the cognitive control method. Cognitive control simply means that you control your thoughts, keeping them positive and repeating positive messages to yourself over and over until they become automatic responses to daily life. The first mental fitness technique is that of positive self-talk, or the use of positive affirmations. The way you talk to yourself has an inordinate impact on your thinking and feeling. Many researchers, including Dr. Martin Seligman of the University of Pennsylvania, have discovered that high-performing men and women talk to themselves differently from low-performing men and women. Basically, your self-talk or your inner dialogue determines the tone of your emotional life. You are happy or sad, positive or negative, depending upon what you say to yourself and how you interpret events to yourself as you go along. For example, if you're cut off in traffic and you immediately become angry and begin thinking how stupid and irresponsible and what a bad driver the other person is, you will have a very different reaction than if, when you're cut off in traffic, you excuse the other person by thinking to yourself that he or she must be late or distracted or must not have seen you. It's exactly the same external event, but your conversation with yourself will determine whether or not you experience positive or negative emotions about the situation. So the starting point of using positive self-talk is to interpret everything that happens to you in a favorable way. Become what W. Clement Stone called an inverse paranoid. Imagine that the whole world is in a giant conspiracy to help you to be successful and happy. Just as a paranoid is convinced that there's a conspiracy against him or her, an inverse paranoid is convinced that there is a conspiracy for him or her. Practice the wonderful mental quality of serendipity. In the fairy tale, the three princes of Serendip traveled around finding that every apparently negative or calamitous event turned out to be positive and beneficial in the end. So make it a fun game to look for the good in every person and every situation. In Napoleon Hill's famous book, Think and Grow Rich, he says that one of the characteristics of the most successful men and women in America is that they always look for the opportunity or benefit within every setback or obstacle. And because of the law of substitution, if you're looking into every difficult situation for the lesson you can learn or for the possible opportunity it might contain, your mind tends to remain positive and you continue to function at your very best. Whenever you think of a person or event, talk to yourself in positive language. The most powerful of all affirmations for building self-confidence, for example, is for you to repeat over and over 50 or 100 times a day the words, "I can do it. I can do it. I can do it." These simple words are the verbal antidote to the fear of failure, which, as you know, is the great destroyer of self-confidence and probably the primary reason for failure in adult life. But you can diminish the fear of failure in any situation by repeating, "I can do it. I can do it. I can do it." The most powerful affirmation for building self-esteem is probably the words, "I like myself." These simple words, repeated often enough with energy and enthusiasm, are eventually accepted by your subconscious mind. As your subconscious mind accepts this message of self-liking, your self-esteem goes up and your ability to perform and your levels of effectiveness improve in every area of your life. If you want to do your work better, just say, "I love my job." In their best-selling book, Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude, W. Clement Stone and Napoleon Hill recommend that you repeat many times a day the words, "I feel happy, I feel healthy, I feel terrific." One of my favorite affirmations whenever I'm worried about anything is to cancel the worry by saying, "I believe in the perfect outcome of every situation in my life." You'll find that it's impossible to worry and fret about anything while you're repeating this kind of positive message to yourself. Your potential is unlimited using affirmations. By repeated affirmations, you can install powerful, positive commands that will eventually determine your automatic thoughts, feelings, and responses. Now, in order for affirmations to work, they must be phrased using the three P's. They must be in the present tense, they must be positive, and they must be personal. The affirmations, "I can do it," "I like myself," "I feel terrific," are all positive, present tense, and personal. The subconscious is very literal in nature and can only accept commands phrased in the present tense. For some reason, the subconscious ignores negative commands and focuses only on the positive message. You can create affirmations for each of your goals, and by repeating them continually, you drive them deep into your subconscious mind until you find yourself automatically motivated in the direction of achieving them. The second mental programming technique that you can use to keep your mind positive and to obtain your goals faster is to write out your goals in the form of affirmations on 3x5 index cards. Write them in large black letters and then read and reread the cards several times each day, reciting the affirmation to yourself each time. This and every other method or technique that you use to convince yourself that your goal is achievable will help to build your self-esteem and your self-confidence. In turn, this attitude or belief will cause you to take the specific actions that will eventually make your goals a reality. The third technique for building self-confidence is the use of positive visualization. This is the process of creating clear mental pictures of the person you want to be doing the things you want to do. Your subconscious mind can't tell the difference between a real experience and one that you vividly imagine. And what determines the impact of a visualization is the amount of emotion that you mix with the picture when you hold it in your conscious mind for reception by your subconscious. The more emotion with which you visualize, the faster the picture will emerge in your reality. An application of visualizing is a peak performance technique called mental rehearsal. In mental rehearsal, you go through an upcoming event in your mind, detail by detail, and see it happening perfectly with you completely successful in the end. Prior to any event of importance, you recall and relive a previous experience of excellent performance. You take a few minutes to replay in your minds a picture of the last time you did this particular thing successfully. For example, if you have to make a sales call, take a few moments prior to the sales call, close your eyes, and see yourself in the sales call, perfectly relaxed, positive, calm, and in complete control. See the prospect or customer responding positively towards you and signing the contract or check at the end of your visit. If you have an interview coming up, take a few moments to rehearse the interview in your mind. Go through every stage of it. See yourself performing at your very best and visualize the other person responding to you in a positive and productive way. All improvement in your life begins with improvement in your mental pictures. If you want to wear beautiful clothes, you should purchase and read magazines filled with pictures of models wearing the kind of clothes you desire. Visit clothing stores of the very best quality and try on clothes that you eventually want to own. Flood your mind with pictures and sensations of the reality that you desire to experience. If you want to live in a nicer home, go out to open houses in the neighborhood that you desire to live in. Walk through the homes and imagine living there. Don't worry for the moment whether or not it's possible or how high the price is. Your primary job is to get the picture. Get magazines filled with pictures of beautiful homes and read them from cover to cover. Practice the law of concentration by allowing your mind to dwell on the things you want. And especially, get the feeling. The key to activating your mental powers through affirmation and visualization is for you to also imagine exactly how you would feel if you'd already achieved your goal. Imagine the feelings of pride and happiness and self-esteem that you'd enjoy as a result of obtaining your objectives. This emotional component is the catalyst that causes the other mental programming techniques to work more rapidly. One of the best methods I've ever seen for programming your mind and building your beliefs is what is called the end of the movie exercise. This is a tremendous tool for building self-confidence prior to any upcoming situation, and it's very simple. Imagine that you have gone to a movie, only to find that there is 10 minutes left of the movie before it begins again. Instead of waiting in the lobby, you decide to go into the theater and watch the last 10 minutes. You see how the plot works itself out, how the drama is resolved, and how the movie ends satisfactorily. You then wait for a few minutes, and when the movie starts again, you watch the movie from the beginning. Only now, however, you know that it turns out all right. Deep inside of you, you know how every part of the film eventually resolves itself satisfactorily. Instead of becoming caught up in the drama and uncertainty and danger, you simply relax peacefully, knowing how it all turns out at the end of the movie. You can apply the same technique to almost everything you do. You can manufacture your own level of self-confidence by imagining that no matter what your situation, everything turns out perfectly in the end. Prior to a meeting or a sales call or an interview, take a few moments to get that end-of-the-movie feeling. Then, just relax. No matter what happens in the interim, you don't have to worry at all. You already know that the situation resolves itself with good for all concerned. The fourth mental fitness technique, and another way to build your self-confidence, is to continually feed your mind with books, magazines, and audio tapes loaded with positive and uplifting messages. Just as you become what you eat, you do become what you think about. Everything that you allow into your conscious mind, positive or negative, is either raising or lowering your self-esteem and self-confidence. One of the most powerful suggestive influences in your life, by the way, perhaps the one influence that decides your success or failure more than any other controllable factor, is the kind of people that you associate with on a regular basis. So the fifth mental fitness technique to keep yourself confident and optimistic is to get around positive people and get away from negative people. Discipline yourself to remove the negative people from your life. Because you are so inordinately influenced by other people, the people you work with and socialize with and spend time with, you must do everything possible to assure that you are surrounded by the kind of people you want to be like. This part is so serious that research has shown that habitual association with critical, complaining people can be enough by itself to sabotage all your chances for success and happiness. You can begin to change your human environment by beginning, first of all, to think about the kind of people that you admire and want to be like. Think about the men and women, living or dead, whose qualities you respect and whose lives you would like to emulate. Read magazine articles and interviews about people who are going somewhere with their lives. Begin associating with winners by identifying with them mentally. As you do, you'll experience a subtle change in your mentality, and you'll begin to attract other winners into your life. At the same time, you'll activate the law of repulsion, and negative people will start to drift away from you. In no time at all, your human environment will begin to change for the better. And by the way, if all these ideas seem like a lot of trouble, remember the reality principle. Remember that both actions and inactions have consequences. Like the law of sowing and reaping, whatever you sow or fail to sow is going to determine what you reap in the end. Finally, remember the law of reversibility. If you act in a manner consistent with high performance and high self-confidence, those very actions will generate the feelings consistent with them. Every positive, constructive action that you take in the direction of your dreams and goals will reinforce your belief in yourself and in your ability to accomplish your ideals. Keep your vision clearly before you and take continuous positive action every hour and every day. Develop a sense of urgency. Move quickly when opportunity presents itself. Maintain a bias for action. Fast tempo is essential to success, and the faster you move, the better you feel. And the faster you move, the higher will be your self-esteem and self-confidence. The world can really be divided into two categories, the talkers and the doers. The world is full of talkers who seem to be convinced that if they just talk about it enough, it is the same as actually doing it. But you are a doer. And it is always the doers who are the movers and shakers throughout all of human history. It is the men and women who think and plan and then take continuous, persistent action who make things happen. And when you think positively and engage in continuous action, not only will you feel terrific about yourself, but your ability to do whatever you want to do will grow by leaps and bounds.